Go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. We're going to look at chapters 1 and 2 this morning of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 1 here shortly. The book of Ecclesiastes, in of itself, is a very sobering look that Solomon takes towards life, the things that happen in life, and death. And there's a lot of things we can learn from these various, really, again, sobering things and thoughts toward life and death itself. And what I want us to do, though, as we look at these first two chapters, is notice, really, Solomon taking the approach of what life itself looks like. And we can see exactly what life without God looks like as we look through these two chapters. Remain mostly within these two chapters. We may go to a couple other sections in Ecclesiastes, as well as a couple verses in the New Testament. But other than that, we're going to primarily stay in these two chapters of Ecclesiastes. And again, we can learn a whole lot from these based on what life itself has to offer us. And again, life itself as in physical life, this life here on earth. And really, what life, once again, what life without God looks like. I'm just going to make sure this is recording. All right. And so go ahead and turn over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, looking in verse 1. Really, we see these first two chapters, again, dealing with life. And Solomon begins by saying, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And that word vanity, it's like the word futile or useless would probably be the best way of describing it. Verse 3 says, "What advantage does man have in all the work which he does under the sun? A generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. Also the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place it rises there again, blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north. The wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses the wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, 'See, this is new'? Already it has existed for ages which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the later things which will occur. There will be no remembrance among those who will come later still." As we notice these first 11 verses of the section we're going to look at, really what Solomon is saying is that life just really seems to just kind of be mundane. Seems to be kind of boring, really. It just seems to kind of go on and on and on and on. And nothing really changes. That's kind of something we can see through this, especially when it talks about the wind circulating and it's going to circle back. There in verse 6, you can see other phrases. The generation comes, a generation goes, the earth's still here. The sun rises and the sun sets, it's going to come right back up. Maybe you've seen this in your life. This is kind of a description of it, but maybe in your own life you've seen this. Maybe you have kind of those days where it's just like you get up, you go to work, maybe go to school, come back home, do your daily routine, maybe have dinner or something, then you go to bed, then you get up the next morning, go to work, come home, go to bed, and then just kind of over and over again. Go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, go to bed, get up. Just over and over and over again, the same cycle continues. Nothing really changes. It's just kind of over and over and over again. Things just are mundane. They're, again, just kind of boring. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Life just seems to not change. Life just seems to be kind of dull, is what Solomon is saying through these verses. And he's trying to really search for meaning through all of this. And he's going to continue, and we're going to see that especially in these next verses of chapter 1. So continue with me, if you will, there in chapter 1, verse 12, looking through the next few verses, it says, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, notice what he says here, all is vanity, all is useless, all is futile, and striving after wind. You think about that idea of striving after wind. You know, people try to, if you try to grab at the wind, are you going to be able to catch it? Of course not. It's a useless endeavor to try and do so. You're not going to catch it. It's something people do. If a person were to try to do it, it's not something people typically do. Maybe, you think about a situation where, you know, you have those times when, I'm trying to think of what the word is, but it's escaped me, regarding when you see the whirl, kind of a whirlwind. It's like a little, kind of like a tornado, but not really a tornado because there's no cloud or it's not really that strong, where the leaves kind of start going around in a circle and stuff like that, and maybe a child goes in and chases after them. Yeah, if he's chasing after the wind, he's not going to catch the wind. He might catch a leaf, but he's not going to catch the wind. You can't do it. It's something that's useless. And that's the point Solomon's getting here. And really what you're seeing here is he's trying to seek and explore by wisdom, again, verse 13, all that has been done under heaven. He's trying to find purpose and meaning through all of this is the point. And you continue on into verse 15, what is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. And I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realized this also is, there's that phrase again, striving after winds. Because in much wisdom, there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. And so what Solomon is getting at here is that there is sorrow in this search. There's sorrow in the search for meaning and purpose through all of this. And that's what we're seeing in these passages here, this first chapter. However, Solomon continues into the next chapter, and he talks about basically riches and hobbies he tried to occupy his mind with. You continue on into chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said, of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine, while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly, until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven, the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest for growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves, and also I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. Excuse me. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor. And this was the reward for all my labor. We'll stop right there for a moment. You know, you have basically what you're seeing right here is Solomon just getting into a bunch of hobbies, a bunch of different riches throughout his life. He's just gathering it all up. You know, we have hobbies too ourselves. When we get bored, we decide we're going to go and have some kind of a hobby to kind of keep our mind occupied. This is what Solomon's doing here. And when he does that, he finally realizes something, though. It says here at the very next verse, verse 11, after all of these various things he did, after he collected all these various riches, after he collected and did all these various hobbies, verse 11, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, I was satisfied. I was happy. I found happiness and meaning. Is that what it says? No. It actually says, behold, all was vanity, futile, useless, and striving after wind. And there was no profit under the sun. Notice that. He essentially says the same thing three times here. It was useless. He says that twice. It was useless. A useless endeavor, that idea of striving after wind. No profit under the sun. Again, useless. Trying to find happiness through these things, through hobbies, through riches, all of it, it proved futile to Solomon. But then you actually see some other verses. He actually points this out in another passage later on in Ecclesiastes. Look over in chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. We can see an idea of why this would be futile. Chapter 5, verse 10, it says, he who loves money will never be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. Some people, they think they're going to find happiness in riches. They think they're going to be happy once they make that first $1 million. And yet, Solomon points out, no. Because all you're going to do is you're going to want more and more and more, and eventually, either you get a lot, or you lose it all, or you just realize, you know what, this money isn't making me happy. And you know, that's the same way with hobbies. You know, I've had several hobbies over the years. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies either. Hobbies are good. Different hobbies I've done. I used to collect Pokemon cards back in the day. I'm sure many of you have heard of that particular game. I still got a few. Actually, I think I got every one I've ever had back home. But that was a fun thing to do, and I thought about getting back into it. There's people that are collecting Pokemon cards well into their 40s. And then, of course, coin collecting is another thing that a lot of people enjoy. I've enjoyed that a lot. You get to look at different coins. You get to see different coins and different things that were used as currency back in the 1800s. I've got one coin from the Roman Empire that is really rusted over. You can't really tell what it was, but it was considered a mite. You may remember the event in the New Testament concerning the widow's mite, where she just put two mites in the collection. I don't know if this was the time of Christ or not that this particular mite was minted, but it was around in the days of the Roman Empire. But there's different coins a person can get, and this, of course, that coin only cost me like $3, because there's so many of them out there. You can probably find them online for cheaper. But again, these various things that people like to collect, again, there's nothing wrong with it. But Solomon soon realized, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to really find happiness there. You know, you have enjoyment in that. So I find enjoyment in those things. I find that. But sometimes I have to take a step away and say, you know what, I can't devote myself to these various hobbies. You know, it doesn't even have to be collecting stuff. Some people plant gardens, and that's a good thing, too. That's a good hobby. But when you think about it, one of the things in connection with that particular subject of gardening, back after World War II, when the sailors and all the soldiers came home from the war, one of the things I've been told by folks who kind of lived in that period is that there was a lot of the wives who were planting gardens as soon as that happened, or pretty shortly after. Well, when you think about it, how many of those gardens are still going and being planted? How many of you would think maybe they're probably just a slab of grass now? Now, of course, the gardens might still be going. Some of them, they might still be being used. But I would say that a lot of them probably aren't being used as gardens anymore. You can garden and garden and garden, but eventually that place of land probably isn't going to be gardened anymore. You know, I'm also reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, Paul will say this, and this kind of goes on to another subject of why this is futility. Why trying to find happiness in these things is futile and useless. He'll say, for we have not brought anything into this world, and so we can take nothing out of it either. I remember, this is a particular thing, it's considered a legend, I don't know if it's true or not, it's concerning Alexander the Great. One of the things he had said in his time, just before he died, I think it was on his deathbed, the legend says, he requested that his hands be held out of the coffin for everyone to see. People ask, well, what is that all about? Why do you say that? He said, so that way I can show people that I am, just as I left this world, and, or rather, just as I came into this world empty-handed, so I'm leaving this world empty-handed. Now, at the end of the day, you're not taking anything here on this earth, anything physical, any money, any of the things you've collected as a hobby or anything you've done as a hobby, you're not taking any of that with you into the next life. All of it's going to be left here. And Solomon's going to kind of really espouse on that, I want to say, if I'm using the right word. I think it was espouse. I'll have to double check. But he's basically going to say more about that. But as you continue on here, this is what Solomon says after this. Of course, he says, turning back over there to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, again, verse 11, thus I considered all my activities, all was striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. You come to verse 12 now. So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king, except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as life excels darkness. Notice this. Solomon is recognizing the fact that it's better to be wise than it is to be foolish. But notice what he then proceeds to say in verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet, some of your translations might say, but I know that one fate befalls them both. What's Solomon getting at here? Well, I might have, we'll try and bring this over to the next slide. Here we go. Solomon realizes what his life truly has to offer, what this life truly offers. He's going to get at this here in these next verses. The fate of the fools. If you can't see this on the from where you're sitting, what that is right there, that's a graveyard. That's the fate of fools right there. That's what this life offers. Now, the fate of the wise. Same thing. The grave. That's what this life has to offer. You continue on here in Ecclesiastes. My apologies there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 into verse 15. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? I think some translations say exceedingly wise. So I said to myself, this too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. So I hated life. Notice this right there. Have you ever hated life? And I'm not talking about hating a job, hating other things, hating what you have, just hating a bad day you might be having, things like that. There's stuff to be said about that. I'm talking about hating life itself. This is the point Solomon comes to in his life. He realizes, you know what? I'm going to die and become dirt, just like foolish people. I'm going to die just like foolish people, even though I've been wise. That's what life has to offer for me. Continuing on, verse 17, so I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything, notice that, everything is futility and striving after wind. Looking into chapter 9, verses 2 through 3, look over there, if you will, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Solomon says it like this. It is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not sacrifice. We've been talking about sacrifices in our Bible study on Wednesday nights. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. Notice this particular passage here. Solomon's saying, look, I try to find meaning in this mundane life. I can't find it. I try to find happiness in riches and hobbies. I can't find it. I try to find just anything I can possibly do. I can't find it. This is all futile. My very life is futile. You know, in a life, in a world, a worldview, I should say, or in a life without God, this is all there is. Solomon continues in these next verses of chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. And he says, you know what? I just hate all the labor I've ever done. I hate everything I've done. I hate all the toil that I've had to do. Looking there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, looking at verses 18 through 23. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. For I must leave it to the man who will come after me. You see, he's not taking it with him when he dies. And who knows whether he will be a fool first, but in the New American Standard it says wise man or a fool. I think some translations switch that around. Whether he will be a wise man or a fool, yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity, useless, and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor, in his striving which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. This is a sobering look at exactly what life has to offer, life by itself. You get to be born into this world, really no proof or meaning or sorrow in the search for meaning, riches and hobbies that distract your mind, and then, well, those are proven futile. And then you die, and you become dirt. The wise man, just like the fool, lies 6 feet under dirt. That's Solomon's point through all of this. He understands, all that life has to offer me, I'm just going to end up dying, and anything I've actually managed to get in this life is just going to be left here. It's a very sobering look at life and death here in this passage. But when one approaches life itself without God, that's all that this life has to offer. Death and the grave. Becoming dirt and not even being remembered by future generations. How many folks do you think, just some thoughts, how many righteous folks do we actually know from the second and later part of the first century? Christians who lived in that time. Do we know their names? We may have the names of some, but do we know all their names? They're not remembered. The names themselves are not remembered. Same thing with foolish people. People who were preached the gospel to but rejected it. We know a few people, but do we know all? Of course not. People are not remembered. When you think about it, people will be forgotten. People in this room will be forgotten. We're going to be forgotten if the Lord does not return for a long period of time. That's what this life has to offer us. But through all of this, there is a positive note that Solomon really concludes on here in this first part of Ecclesiastes. He finds enjoyment, not in all the earthly things, but in connection with God. Notice with me these next verses in chapter 2. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. Notice verse 25. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? To a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. While to the sinner, he has given the task of gathering and collecting so that he might give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. Notice that. Solomon says, you know, this life by itself, it has nothing to offer except eventual death. But when you have God in your life, when God is in connection with you, which we've talked about in over time, then there's joy and enjoyment. You look over in Ecclesiastes. I keep wanting to say Ephesians. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, looking at verses 18 through 20. This really points to this as well. Here's what I have seen to be good and fitting: to eat, to drink, and enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. Furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Notice verse 20 now. For he will not often consider the years of his life. Why? Because God keeps him occupied with the gladness of his heart. You know, a person grows old in age, sometimes, you know, you think, well, have I done anything really worthwhile? Well, if you decided to follow the Lord, you did. And so when you think about this approach that Solomon takes, he points out, listen, if all you have in this life is life itself, you're just going to become dirt. You're going to die and become dirt if the Lord doesn't return. It's very blunt. But when you have God, you have Him in your life, you have something to look forward to. And that spoke well for the time. That spoke well from the time of Solomon, and that speaks well for even us today. The same truth was then, and it is today as well. If you've not decided to follow the Lord, why haven't you? Again, why would you want the opposite of that? What good reason is there to be in the opposite of that and just be laboring and toiling and having all this temporary enjoyment, riches and hobbies and whatnot? At the end of the day, just dying, leaving it all here. Now, of course, you know, of course, that there's going to be hell, of course, the eternal destruction of those who don't believe. But Solomon's not taking that approach right here. He's pointing out two worldviews. If you need to follow the Lord, why not do so this morning? The Bible tells us exactly what we need to do in order to be saved? Have you followed that plan? Have you followed the plan that brings one to begin serving the Lord? If not, why not? You can do so this morning by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in God, or confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized. You can do that this morning, or perhaps you've done that, but you're not living faithfully. You can return to Him by repenting of your sins, confessing your sins. And if you come forward and do that, we'll pray to God for forgiveness on your behalf. If you need to get your heart right with God this morning and be in connection with Him, do so right now as we stand and sing.